As you hopefully have realized, even though she's not here today, my wife is pregnant, and we have learned recently that we are having a boy to help balance out this population of young kids in this church. And so once you find out, well, that you're having a baby, but if you go the further step and you find out that you're having a boy or girl, then comes the difficult part about choosing a name. And a lot of thought can go into this, because names are important. They often will conjure up images of certain things and certain attitudes. And if you don't believe this, let's do a little exercise here. Let me say the name, and you think of, well, what you think of, and we'll figure out if we're on the right track here. When I say the name Adolf, what do you think of? What's that? Your dad? Well, you're not playing into my experiment here. Most people would probably think of Adolf Hitler, wouldn't they? That's what I think of anyway. But now I'll think of your dad. Let's go this way. When I say Hillary, what do you think of? Obviously, you're thinking of Sir Edmund Hillary, the guy who climbed Mount Everest. Of course you are. When I say Donald, what do you think of? You think of Donald Duck, of course. Yeah. And you can have biblical names. Biblical names conjure up these images too. In Bible study, we finished last week, I think it was, studying Job. And if I were ever to come across the name of a person, you know, Job is a name that is associated with suffering. Another name that is common, but is a biblical name too, is the name Jacob. And we often don't think about this, but did you know the name Jacob means deceiver, usurper? He's a devious person in Scripture. Names are important because they have meaning. And a lot of names have meaning because of people who have carried them in the past, whether it's good meaning or bad meaning. A name can almost have a reputation attached to it. And because of this, the people in our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah appeal to the name of the Lord. For them, the name of God has certain things attached to it. There's a reputation that comes with the name of God. These people in Jeremiah are suffering through a drought. And the text is a little bit ambiguous as to why. It could be that it just has happened. Or it also could be that the Lord has caused it to happen as a punishment for their sin. Either way, the people of God are appealing to God based on God's name, His reputation. Here's what they say. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies are indeed many, and we have sinned against you. And then they go on, yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. They approach the Lord in what looks to be confession, and they ask God to act according to his name, which is to say, act according to your reputation, according to who we know you to be. Long ago, these people made a promise with the Lord after the Lord brought them out of slavery that they would be God's people and God would be their God, that they would have this special relationship between the people of God and God. And God, throughout Old Testament history, delivered them over and over and over again, was there for them time and time again, even though they would wander away from him and worship other gods. When they called out to God, God answered, and he delivered them. God has been merciful to them, and so they appeal, Lord, you're in the midst of us. We are called by your name. Don't forsake us. But listen to how God responds to these people who call out to him. It's verse 10. Thus says the Lord concerning this people. Truly they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. And now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Not exactly the response the people were hoping for. God apparently does not see in their confession true confession. He does not see in their confession true sorrow and pain over what they have done against the Lord. Yet the people ask God to act according to who they think He is, and they think that He is a loving and a kind God, one who has rescued them time and time again, merciful and gracious, and He is that. But they've forgotten some other aspects of who God is as well. They've forgotten that God is also a God of justice, who hates injustice. In fact, becomes angry when he sees it. And he has accused Israel of a lot of injustices. They have forgotten that God is also a jealous God. He has told them this himself, that I am a jealous God. I do not allow the worship of other gods. You worship me and me alone. They've forgotten this. They've also forgotten that God has an extreme distaste for disobedience and sin. And they have forgotten that God at times shows his anger and his wrath against such things. When they think of God's name, they aren't thinking about the whole picture. And they bring it upon themselves when they ask God to act according to his name, because that is exactly how he is going to act. He will, in this case, not forget but remember their sin and punish their iniquity. But nothing the Lord does is without purpose. There is always a reason behind what the Lord does. In this case, what the Lord will do, what Jeremiah the prophet repeatedly warns them of, though they will not listen, is he will send them away. Their sin determines that they will be cast out from the land which God gave them, cast out and away from the temple which was built for them to worship, cast out of God's presence, out of his favor. This is what their sin brings upon them. But eventually, the Lord would bring them back. And when he would do something new. Something that nobody expected. He would reveal another aspect of his name. Actually, it's probably better to say he would reveal the full measure of who he is by his name. This was always there, but now it is to be embodied. Now it's to be put in the flesh. God sends his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And the name Jesus means the Lord saves. And it's like a promise. The name of Jesus itself is like a promise to the people, and it's a promise to us. The Lord saves. That's bigger than just a reputation of being loving. It's bigger than having a reputation for being kind. It's bigger also than anger, than the wrath of God. It's bigger even than justice, because all of those things are wrapped up into the meaning of that one name, Jesus, the Lord saves. And God always works to act according to that name. And sometimes to bring a person to bow down at the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, which means the Lord saves, to bring us to that point, sometimes things have to be allowed. Sometimes sin has to be punished. Sometimes the Lord's will needs to be made known. For us today, we hear the name of Jesus. We confess that it means that God desires to save. And we ask that, unlike the people in Jeremiah's day, that we would hear God's name, we would hear God's word, we would respond to it. We would repent of our sin in true confession, true sorrow over what we have done, and come to the Lord who truly saves. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, you are the God who saves. And you do this through your Son, Jesus, who took all your love, who took all your kindness, took all your anger, took all your wrath, and all your justice in himself on the cross for us. Help us, O Lord, to have eyes who see Jesus for who he is and what he has done for us, and that we would come to him in sorrow for our sin, but in the confidence that he grants us his forgiveness. We pray this in your name. Amen.